basketball, the Bulls are off and running. And Dan and Jason Bernstein are here to keep you up to date with the Stampede. You're listening to Organizations Win Championships.
Welcome to episode 91 of Organizations Win Championships, an Odyssey podcast through 2400 Sports about your Chicago Bulls. I'm Dan Bernstein, along with Jason Bernstein and our producer, Spencer Ray. It is starting to feel like the season is getting upon us because this morning.
All right.
Yeah, no, it's starting to feel real. This morning in front of a live audience at WSCR in Chicago on the Blue Cross Blue Shield performance stage, Bulls executive VP Arturis Karnišovas and head coach Billy Donovan sat down with Mike Mulligan and David Haw, and they talked about a lot. And I know you have gotten a chance to hear what they have to say. I got to hear a lot of that live and say hi to AK and talk to Billy. And it does appear to me that they can't say the quiet part out loud about what this season is, but it sounds like they get it.
Oh, 100%. I think they know that they're going to be bad, and that is okay. And I think my biggest takeaway, or what I thought was most interesting, was the stuff on DeMar. I think it was very clear that they had an appreciation for him, but they also knew that he is not where the NBA is trending. Billy was saying he was a great leader and all this stuff, and he was an unbelievable player, but he said that they want to shoot. Literally, he said this out loud, that they're going to be more fast paced because that's what this team is built for. And then he said, DeMar is a great mid range shooter, and I don't want to make a player someone that he's not. And so it seems very mutual that he wanted to move on from DeMar in that slow play style, which suits his game, but it doesn't suit the modern NBA. And they want to get into something that's faster and more three-point based, and that is okay. The only thing is, I don't know where these three-point shots are going to be coming from other than Kobe and whatever the hell Zach is doing and Patrick, but at least they're trying, right?
For me, the interesting part, I just
Eberflused. I'm sorry.
Yeah, you Eberflused me. But let's deal with these things in groups. I want to get to the play style and the very, very polite blaming of both DeMar DeRozan and his boss, I think, by Billy Donovan. And everybody understands what he's talking about and the reality of what was going on. And it was great to hear him mention that. But first, I just want to start with the idea that Karnišovas specifically said that we're going to try to win every game. He said the only way you can teach those guys how to win games is by going through that. It's how he chose to say that I think is interesting. Try is critical because even though we know they're aware that making the playoffs would lose them a top 10 pick in what's believed to be a good draft, nobody expects any team to try to lose. We want these young players to get better, and we want them to be part of a proper professional culture, and that involves trying to win. So it's going to be up to Karnišovas to manage the roster via trades, especially at the deadline, to make sure they don't overachieve. So here's what I'm looking at. They were, I believe, 22nd in defensive rating last season. So, you know, Caruso's gone. And I thought it was interesting that Billy Donovan referred to Caruso's style of play as reckless. He even said, because he plays recklessly, so we don't know how available he was going to be. Yeah. Then you don't, as you said, there's the rim protection has never been great. It's never been important to them. And the exact quote was, it's going to be a challenge for us regarding the defense. We're going to have to do it by committee. We're going to have to be creative to cover for each other in certain situations. Well, good luck with that, depending on what lineup you have out there, because Giddy needs help. And if you're going to play regular minutes for Nikola Vucevic, they're going to be forced to have him covered for multiple times per possession. If you really think that you're going to keep an opponent from shooting threes, good luck. And it's I think it's make a choice. I think it's pack the paint and take away driving lanes, or it's going to be, they're going to lead the league in dunks and alley-oop dunks allowed.
Yeah. Vooch can't jump. The only thing is, I don't know how much Jalen Smith is going to have an impact on rim protection. I've only seen a lot of his offensive game, I guess, paid attention to when the Bulls played the Pacers, and he's a really good three-point shooter, and I like what he brings to the table, but I need to see what Jalen Smith can do on the defensive end as a rim protector. Also, is Patrick Williams going to keep guarding the best player on the opposing team, or is he going to be more of a 1-5 kind of guy, or is he going to be sort of a rim protector? Same thing with Mattis. What is he going to be doing defensively when he gets into the game? We'll see if Julian Phillips has a different role than he did last season when it comes, just one, minutes-wise, and two, what he does defensively.
His name did not get mentioned today. You know, we had Torrey Craig's name mentioned, and I still get the feeling Torrey Craig is going to be a part of things because they're going to need some veteran help to shepherd these guys along. And because you mentioned Mattis Bouzelis, how about the comment?
Kermit. Okay, he sounded like Patrick Mahomes.
How about the comment that Billy made that Mattis Bouzelis may be better off? What do you say, getting 35 minutes in the G League on a Tuesday?
Good news for me when I'm on Thanksgiving break.
I was thinking of it that tells us that he may be a little bit further away than we think he is. It also tells us
one. I disagree with that. I disagree with that. I don't think that's what that says at all. I think they just want him. They know that their roster is flooded with forwards right now, and they want him to get on the floor. It's not like it was with Dalen, where we knew that his game was not polished at all. And that's why they sent him to the G League, not just in his rookie season, but also in his second season in the league. And with Mattis, he's played in the G League before and been successful in the G League. I think his game is very polished for most rookies, especially this class, my goodness. But I just think that they just want him to play. They want him to start. They want him to play. And if they're going to be playing a fast-paced brand of basketball, then the G League is a really good option for him if he's struggling to find minutes with the big boys. And I think that is completely normal. We've seen multiple first-round picks go to the G League in the past few years. Jordan Hawkins for the Pelicans was in the G League. He was the 13th overall pick. I don't think it's a developmental purpose. I just think they want to keep his legs moving.
So if you're right, and as they get closer to the end of the year, I would look at that as more motivation to move Vooch for whatever you can at the deadline and then be able to find those minutes in the NBA rather than the G League for Bouzelis and take your lumps as he gets better.
Yeah, that's it. I think they just want him to be in shape for if or when he gets the opportunity to play 25 minutes a game. And that is totally, totally okay. I am fully okay with them sending him to the G League for a while. I don't know if he'll get frustrated by that, but who knows? I think just to keep his legs warm, it would be good. Maybe because they can call him up whenever they need to. So I don't think there's anything wrong with just putting him down there for a little bit. No issue.
I agree
with that.
I agree. Okay. I think it's fair that I just thought that maybe the mention of the G League said that, look, he is more raw than perhaps we gave him credit for.
No, I think you just Dan Bernstein that. I think you were overthinking and tried to make some sort of analytical decision. No, they just want him to keep his leg. They just want him to be in shape. You saw him in the summer league. And looking at him versus a bunch of guys that are going to be playing in the G League, he looked significantly more polished. So I really don't think that.
When Donovan Head here, he's got his boss sitting next to him, and he's asked the question about how they're going to play. And he's talking again, as they did last year, when we reacted to it here in this space. Remember when AK told us that they were starting every game down 8-0 because of the disparity in 3 points, 3-pointers shot and 3-pointers made, and the overall volume and prioritization or lack thereof of the 3-pointers in the offense. But they're saying it again, and Billy phrased it differently. He said, we lost the analytics war, which is true. And I'm glad to hear him say it that way, that they weren't playing the same ball as the opponents are playing. Everything we've been saying, they know. They're watching the same games as we are. And for him to then not blame DeMar DeRozan, but blame him to say, we know, like you said, he's the king of the 2-point, whatever they say, mid-range, the master of the mid-range and all that, is a way, is a backhanded compliment of saying he's great at something that we know isn't that valuable anymore. And you can't make somebody into something they're not. So his, you know, he talked about how we were constructed with the guy in charge of construction sitting right next to him. So they obviously have to both understand that, and fine, it's all good, but they still don't have enough shooting to pull this off.
Yeah, it's funny because I feel like the White Sox, well, one, they just suck, but two, they're in the exact same bracket and have been, where they just hit too many ground balls and they don't hit balls over the fence. And basketball's the same way. They, as analytics have become more prominent and math has gotten better and technology is more advanced, in baseball, it's hit the ball over the fence every time, because if you do that, then there's nothing the defense can do. And or throw the ball 100 miles per hour and have a nasty wipeout pitch, because otherwise, if you're not throwing hard enough, the offense will kill you. Mm-hmm. And in the NBA, it's score more points, therefore make more threes, and defensively stop the threes. And if you're going to take a two, make sure it's a dunk. And I think that the Bulls and the White Sox, the Reinsdorfs, were just chilling in the middle, being like, look at us, small ball. And no, you have to play the modern game. You can't go against math. You just can't.
And they have been for a while. They just,
it because I'm a communications major, because I suck at math. So we'll see how that works out for me. But in sports, you can't go against math. And so I think the Bulls have realized that and are trying to remedy it. I don't know how they're doing it other than just getting a bunch of dudes and seeing how it works. But that's okay. I think some of that is needed, because the thing about last season, the year before, we knew exactly what they were. This season, we know they're going to be bad, but we don't know why they're going to be bad. We need to find the whys.
Well, I know why. It's because they can't guard.
Right. But I'm saying offensively, let's see what they do. I know they can't guard. I don't care about that this season. I want to see offensive progression. There's no way this team would be good at defense. With Vucevic still there, especially, he can't move and he can't jump. So they're kind of boned. And it's what? What's that?
Say, it's a good slogan for the year. Bulls 2024. We're kind of boned. And so, you're not wrong.
No, but I just want to see offensively what changes. And I'm okay with some experimenting. That is fine. I want to see something different from what we've seen in the past.
They might be fun to watch. What they're saying is true. If you're going to be fast and bad, if you're going to be that, you know, get that advanced.
Like 3 years ago, Houston with Jalen Green and those guys. If they can play like that, sure, that's fine. Now Houston's going to be dangerous, but was Houston and Orlando that was. It was very obvious that something was in the works there. Who knows what the Bulls are gonna do? Maybe they take a model from them and get Cooper Flagg as their Paolo Banchero or something.
Keep that draft. That's the thing. That's why you can't mess with that pick. You cannot.
That mofo is nasty. Ace Bailey's good too. Ace Bailey, Cooper Flagg, they're both gross. This draft is good. They need that pick. I want them to be bad. They need now, that pick.
Were bad. You surprised at how they talked about Lonzo Ball?
No. No.
Because I thought they were kind of over their skis already talking about, and then he kind of walked it back. Billy did, because Arturis was content to sort of talk slowly and then let Billy finish his sentences for him, which is why I think their relationship is great, because Billy is always there to just sort of be the song and dance sales guy for whatever Arturis wants, and it works for them. But I thought that when they were actually putting a number on minutes for him, and I was listening. I said, whoa. Let's see if the guy is an NBA player at all. I'm standing by what I've said. I'm standing by it. That if he plays minutes, even if it's 5 minutes a game, if he plays NBA ball, it's by definition objectively a medical miracle, because no one has ever come back from the surgery he's had. And I don't care what he's doing in 5-on-5 pickup. They have no idea if he can cut. They have no idea if he can move his feet defensively.
At an NBA level.
Right. It's one thing to and he never really lifted very high on his jumper anyway.
No, that I don't think that would affect his jump shot much at all. He's never been that much of a leaper. And he's tall for his position, and he releases the ball high. It used to be kind of a slingshot, but he changed it, and now he has a other side.
What,
it was across his face.
Oh, from here to here. It wasn't here to here. Okay.
And he's changed it. He gets the ball. He has a quick release. He's never really needed to jump. And so I'm not concerned about his shooting. I'm really concerned about his defense, because that was why he was so effective. He was effective for three reasons: full court passing, 3-point shooting, and defense. That in 2021 with that weird, awesome first half team, it's because he could do those three things at a very high level. I'm not worried about the shooting. I think the vision will still be there, but I'm really worried about his defensive movement, because we know he has defensive instinct, but who knows how much he's going to be able to do, because so much of that relied on how well he can move. And it's tough to say. Will he be the same player he was? There's almost no chance.
Zero chance.
But I think I'm really curious to see what happens defensively with him. And I'm still skeptical if he even plays. I really don't know.
I am too. And that's why
I don't want to focus on Lonzo. I just want it to be, I want to focus on the team without him, because that's what we've been left with for 2 years, 2.5 years. So I don't want to focus on the what if with Lonzo. Even then, they're still not going to be a playoff team. So who cares? I think that if he does come back, cool. See how it works. But I don't think we should go into the season expecting anything from Lonzo. I think we need to judge it based on what is in front of us right now. What we need to look at Zach. We need to look at Vooch, Kobe, Modest, and Patrick. The guys that need to prove something a little bit. I mean, Kobe doesn't have that much to prove, but we'll see how much he grows. We'll see what he's like with Zach on the floor. It's all of we'll see, and I don't want to look into the future with Lonzo being a headline. I really don't. I don't think that's fair to him. I don't think that's fair to the team, and I don't think that's fair to us.
I agree. And I do think when Kobe White talked about the one thing he really can do is get in shape cardiovascularly. And as Billy mentioned today, that watching a guy like Steph Curry able to keep just his engine revving and moving.
He's a different animal, though.
The lesson to Kobe White was that dude is 35 and doesn't get tired. You're 25, and there's really no excuse for not being in absolutely optimal cardiovascular shape if you're going to be the kind of player, especially with Zach out there, who if you're constantly running and they're going to play faster, just get in the best, have the best stamina you possibly can. I thought that point was well made.
You know what's funny? Steph Curry's basketball shoes are basically running shoes with better traction. And he's talked about it before, and I wear Steph Curry's because I just like them and they fit my foot well when I play. But I have them right here. They literally look like a running shoe. And I don't know if that makes a difference for him. It might. Obviously, it's a signature shoe, but he runs. All Steph Curry does is run. And Kobe was wearing, I remember, every single game, he just wore LeBron's. And LeBron does not, at this point in his career, does not play at a super fast pace. And obviously, he's going to be 40. My God. But, hoy. Ugh.
That's an interesting observation on your part.
Keep talking for a second. I'll grab one of the shoes and put it on camera. So I have another pair of basketball shoes.
The Trae Youngs?
The Trae Youngs, yeah, the ugly ones. And
I like those. All right, so I'll talk for a second.
Let me get this for a second. I'll go on mute so I don't make too much noise. If I fart, I can fart without it being on a microphone. I don't know why I said that.
Okay, so he's going to get the Steph Curry shoe. This is actually fairly fascinating, and I don't want to give him credit, and he can't even hear me do it right now, I don't think. So the idea that they would be telling their off-ball shooter catch-and-shoot guy to build up his stamina, to constantly keep his feet moving, I wonder if that'd be a worthwhile question to ask of Kobe White, the difference it would make to have a shoe that is patterned after a running shoe rather than one that is patterned after a basketball shoe that's worn by a big dude. All right, let's see it. You got it there?
All right. Yeah, so I just got the D Roses that I have. And D Rose, obviously, back in the day, crazy fast. But, you know, who knows? Maybe the Bulls assigned him to a one-day contract after he got cut by Memphis. So this is what this looks like, the high top. And yeah, it's very flat right here. Just the curvature of the shoe is very flat. So you're kind of clomping around a little bit. And then these are the Steph Currys. If you notice, the toe is raised like crazy. And the heel is also curved. So it's so you can keep moving without using too much energy in your legs. And it's really, because it looks like a running shoe. This does not
look like it a does. Basketball shoe. It looks like a Hoka. There's a rocker shape to it.
Yeah. And it's, some people don't like the traction because it doesn't squeak. And some people think it stops too quickly. But Steph Curry wears these because he's running all the time. And the traction pattern that is on these was actually first on a running shoe. And Steph Curry noticed that, tried it on one of the basketball shoes and said, wait, this is fantastic. And then decided to put it on to make that the traction pattern for his shoes. Huh. And I don't know how much of a difference that makes. I don't know how he really got into this, but I wonder what would happen if Kobe White wore Steph Curry's shoes. And also, who is the fastest player in the NBA?
De'Aaron Fox.
What brand is he signed with?
I don't know.
Curry brand. He wore Curry's all of last season. He's getting his first signature shoe with the same traction pattern on that shoe.
What about Maxi on Philly?
He's with New Balance. There aren't a lot of guys with the Curry brand right now, but Tyrese Maxey is fast. I wonder what model shoe he wears, because New Balance does make a lot of running shoes as well. Mm-hmm. And Zach wears New Balances. And so I just find it interesting that two of the guys that run the most in the NBA wear a basketball shoe that is most similar to running shoes.
Very
and
cool stuff.
Maybe that's just a personal preference. And I don't know. I kind of want to see what it would look like if Kobe wore Steph Curry's for a little bit and would try to.
We should ask him.
Crazy light. And I want to see what it, you know, wear him during training camp or something. You're saying I should ask him or you will?
No, we'll find a way. We can get it to him. We can have him ask that. Yeah. We can. Now, I want to bring up one more thing.
I think he's a shoe free agent, so he's able to get whatever he wants.
I learned today regarding Darnell Mayberry of The Athletic here in Chicago reported that Patrick Williams was still dealing with an injury as they were ramping him back up. So I asked about that today, and I was told that Patrick Williams is dealing with soreness from actually compensating for coming back from the foot that was operated. It's not bad. I was told not to worry that. And again, this is just, I'm just passing this along, but a Bulls source did mention that they're not concerned that it's not directly related to any of the repair that was done in his injured foot. It is just sort of the bumps in the road as he is increasing his workload in his comeback, getting ready for training camp. But he's been playing.
Isn't that the same thing they said about Lonzo, though, about his knee? Not to worry. It's not a big deal.
I'm just telling you. Take it for whatever. What it's worth. I promised I would pass along what I heard from the Bulls people today. And good stuff. Let's hit the showdown, shall we?
Yep.
Can I talk now?
Yes.
We will first congratulate our winner of last week's crowd question in the showdown. Now that we've expanded all the fun to you, the loyal listener of Organizations Win Championships, the question was, if I remember exactly correctly, it was which former Bull posted a box score line? What was it? 1-1-1-1. It was a 1 point.
Yeah. Correct. 1-1-1-1-1-1, I think. It was points, assists, rebounds, blocks, turnovers, and steals.
And we put it out there, and it was about 5 minutes, it felt like, after the episode was posted on Twitter. Andy Anaya answered correctly, CJ Watson.
I don't know Andy, why you always say it like that.
Andy. Well, you know why I say it like that? Because Stacey King does it.
Yeah.
He of the Give Me the Hot Sauce podcast, also an Odyssey 2400 sports podcast. But you know why he does it? You've seen Coming to America, right?
Yeah, of course.
Randy Watson. That's why. That's why he says CJ Watson. So congratulations to Andy, who got it right. And I will start the first. I'm going to start my question for Jason.
Okay.
It was announced yesterday that the Memphis Grizzlies are retiring Tony Allen's number 9.
Wow. Okay.
Okay. Now, Chicago's finest, Tony Allen's number 9. When they raise that number to the rafters, it will join what two other retired Memphis Grizzlies numbers? You don't need to just give me the player. Marc Gasol is one. Yes, his number 33 is up there. Who is the other?
So that was the easy one, I'm assuming, correct?
I guess.
Zach Randolph?
Yes, damn it.
I play too much NBA Jam. That is the only reason why, is because Zach over this Randolph. Summer, my best friend and I from home, shout out Jacob, he and I would play NBA Jam in either one of our basements and eat a ton of food and do some other activities.
And leave Corona bottles lying on their side for me and collect McDonald's Happy Meals and the plastic. There's like 7 minions from Despicable Me. These are grown-ass
when you're
men.
When you're not sober, they're really funny.
These are grown-ass so men.
We got back into it this summer. We got back into NBA Jam on the Wii, and so that's the only reason why I thought of those two guys. I was thinking Mike Conley, and then I realized he's still in the league, but I didn't think that anybody from Vancouver is going to be retired yet because, they're still relatively new, and two, they sucked. So I just don't think much is going on.
Zach
it would
Randolph's
be like Greg Ostertag or something. My God.
Ostertag. No, not Ostertag.
He was on Vancouver, right? I think.
Are you thinking
was
of
he?
Brian?
Or was it Utah? I don't know. It might have been Utah. No, I might be thinking of somebody else.
Ostertag was at Utah. You're thinking of Big Country Reeves. That's your
Yes, thinking. That's who I'm thinking of. I don't know why I get them confused.
No, they're both big white blobs. I mean,
yeah.
All right, your turn. Go. Fire away.
Okay, so my question is, I have a list, and it's the last 10 Bulls first-round draft picks that played in a Bulls uniform. So Lauri Markkanen does not count because he was not a Bulls draft pick. He was a draft pick of the Timberwolves in that whole trade thing. So they had to be drafted by the Bulls, the last 10. And I have the years for all of them. It goes from 2024 to 2012.
Oh, God. There's some.
Obviously, you'll get some of them. But there are a couple of names on here, a few names on here that are pretty tough. I would say two or three of them are pretty tough.
All right. Dalen Terry.
Dalen Terry, 2022.
Has played in a Bulls uniform. Last year, Bouzelis doesn't count.
Bouzelis counts. He was a Bulls jersey. Like I'm counting Bouzelis.
He has not played in a Bulls uniform.
I'm counting Modest because he's going to. It's not like he was a draft night trade. You know what I'm saying? Do you know what I'm saying? Shout out Butterscotch.
Yeah, I guess I do. This is going to be harder than I think.
So Modest Dalen.
So much is so recent here. Okay. I know Patrick Williams is one.
Patrick Williams, yeah. That's the third most recent. So you've got the three most recent ones.
Okay. And also on their team. Okay, Phillips was second round.
Mm-hmm.
Who played? Oh, Wendell Carter Jr.?
Wendell Carter Jr. You're missing the easiest one left on here.
Oh, I'm sure he's currently on the team.
He is. And we've talked about him a lot today.
We mentioned Patrick. All right, I'll circle back to that.
Oh, come on. Wow. What? Boo. Okay, keep going then.
Kobe White.
Kobe White. There you go. Okay, so now it gets a little tougher.
So it's not Lauri Markkanen. Let's see. Iowa's second round. Phillips' second round.
And only one of these guys played in the NBA last year.
Oh, geez. You know what that's called? That's called bad drafting.
Yeah.
That's
real. In the NBA, there are a couple of G leaguers, but yeah.
Because they didn't.
One of them retired already, and he had only been in the league for a little bit. And Spencer gave you a hint that is very valuable in here.
Ah, I mean, retired from basketball already? Denzel Valentine.
He's not retired, but that is one of them. Denzel. Oh my goodness, Valentine! Oh no! One of the best calls ever.
What are you doing, Valentine? That wasn't the Michigan State one?
That was the Michigan State
one. Okay, yes. Okay. Because that would have been a tough one. They didn't draft Chris Dunn, did they?
No, they did not. He was fifth overall by Minnesota. Yeah.
Right. That was the Minnesota. That was the Lauri Markkanen trade.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I'll let you fill in the rest.
Okay. 2018, they had two. It was Wendell Carter Jr. and Chandler Hutchison, who is retired from basketball. Remember him?
Yeah, I do. High flyer.
2015, Bobby Portis. That is the one guy that played in the NBA last season. He's still pretty good. 2013, this is after they made a trade for Doug McDermott, after they technically selected Yusuf Nurkic and Gary Harris. No, but he didn't play with the Bulls. So that doesn't count. Tony Snell in 2013, and this was by a mile the hardest one. 2012, the year after Jimmy Butler was drafted in the first round. Marcus Teague, if you remember that name.
Oh, God. Yes.
Star high school player, brother of Jeff Teague, who is absolutely hilarious, by the way. Jeff Teague
says crazy stuff.
He's awesome. His podcast is so funny.
But he says some wild stuff. And I don't know if he's making it up. Sometimes on these NBA podcasts, I think they're just making stuff up.
No. Because everybody else would then. And I don't think he's making stuff up. I just think he's being honest about it when other guys aren't.
That may be.
Like about LeBron saying, when LeBron does stuff, and when he said that in the 20, I think it was 2015 when Atlanta was the number one seed and they had swept Cleveland the regular season, absolutely destroyed them. LeBron goes up to Teague before the series goes, I figured y'all out. And then after one game, Teague just said, oh, yeah, we're done. Or that's how he said he felt. Like, that sort of thing. I just think that's him being honest. That's not a crazy story. It's just him being very honest about it. He's awesome. On
his podcast that Taj Gibson told the story about Thibodeau saying, "Are you in shape?" It's 3 a.m. He called him at 3 a.m. because he realized that he knew there was some injuries on the Knicks, and he was kind of laughing like, "Gee, I wonder if Thibs is going to call me." And he calls him at 3 a.m. "Are you in shape? Get in here." And then he played him like 25 minutes of the first game, and he went over like, "What are you doing?"
Was he a free agent?
Yeah, he was out of the, he was out of the league, and he's like, "You got younger guys on the bench. Where you play them? Get back in there. I need you." All right, here's the crowd question.
Oh, God.
And it's back to the fact that Derrick Rose was waived by Memphis. And it may be the end for him. I had to look
at a farewell contract.
I hate the farewell contracts.
I don't.
So this is not for you. This is for the crowd now. So when you get the answer to this, you send it to @Dan_Bernstein on Twitter or @Jason.Bernstein_ on Instagram. Just make sure you hashtag OWC Showdown. What was Derrick Rose's highest point total in a single game as a Bull? What was his highest point total in a single game as a Bull? That is the crowd question, and we will shout out the winner on the next episode of Organizations Win Championships. So thanks to our producer, Spencer. Thanks for hanging with us. We're getting closer to Bulls basketball. We're going to have some special guests coming up in the near future, and we'll be covering everything that goes on as they get to camp and this roster comes together. So like, subscribe, rate, and do everything that you do to make this podcast an important part of your life.
Go Bears.